Okay, grab your Bibles, and we are in Luke 9, verses 57 through 62. Luke chapter 9, verses 57 through 62. Starting in 57, as they were going along the road, someone said to him, "I will follow you wherever you go." And Jesus said to him, "The foxes have holes, and the birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man has nowhere to lay his head." And he said to another, "Follow me." But he said, "Lord, permit me first to go and bury my father." But he said to him, "Allow the dead to bury their own dead. But as for you, go and proclaim everywhere the kingdom of God." Another also said, "I will follow you, Lord, but first permit me to say goodbye to those at home." But Jesus said to him, "No one, after putting his hand to the plow and looking back, is fit for the kingdom of God." This is the word of the Lord. Lord, sometimes your words can be difficult. Lord, sometimes they can be challenging, and we thank you for that. Because we know that, Lord, if you challenge us, that ultimately it's for our benefit. Lord, we believe that you have a plan and that you are mighty in all things. Help us to be in your will and help us to honor you in all that we do. And it's in the name of your Son, Jesus, we pray this. Amen. So, before I had kids, and pretty much before I was married, don't tell my mom this, but I would frequently pick up hitchhikers, like, as a teenager, whenever I saw someone hitchhiking, I would just, like, pick them up and give them a ride. And I know. And what I found out right away is that you can meet some really interesting people that way. I picked up a guy who had been a roadie traveling with a rock band for years, and he was broke now, and he's just trying to get back to his hometown. I met a teenager who would start walking down the road at 5 a.m. every morning to get to work two towns over by 8 a.m. I met people who were stranded, people who had been kicked out of their homes. I met a kid who was making his way across our country just because he wanted to explore the U.S. They were all on a journey. And really, I was on a journey too. I mean, it's not like I was just looking for people to pick up. But what would happen is when the opportunity would present itself, I would stop. And I would open up the door and I would enter into their lives and they would enter into mine. And I always thought that maybe just through that small act of kindness, giving someone a ride, inviting them to ride with me, taking them toward their destination, that in helping them in some way that I would have an effect on their lives. And this is kind of how I think we can best frame today's text. As Luke is continuing on with this like journey motif that he has set up. And what we see is that Jesus is on his way. He is on this journey to Jerusalem. And along the way, Luke presents us today with these three encounters. And what he wants us to see is that these three interactions are part of these three individuals' journey, and that they have a choice to make on that journey. They can continue on in their mindset with the same ideals, or they can move into this realm of realizing that there is a God who is invested in them and has a desire to fill in the areas of their life with blessings that perhaps they may have not even considered. Jesus' words today are meant to ultimately reveal them to themselves. And Jesus' words, even though they seem difficult at times are really more like a disclosure of what this journey will be, the reality of it. He's not going to hide the true cost of discipleship, but he's not going to hide what could come from it either. See, it's all about Jesus' words finding their innermost desires, or maybe their crutches, and then exposing them in order to create this space so that they can enter into a deeper relationship with him. He like deconstructs these three individuals, but as we see, it seems like it's in order to help them, to help bring them into a faith so that it's not a faith that's superficial or ritualistic, but instead it's one that grows the person deeply and touches their true spiritual and emotional needs. It's about forming disciples. And it's about two journeys that are happening. One journey is in the individual's life, and the other journey is Jesus. And Jesus is providing them with something so much more than they would have expected. It's like Jesus pulls up with the car, opens the door, and they jump in. And this ride, Jesus is truly touching their lives. So let's just check it out. Verse 57 and 58. This is the first guy. As they were going along the road, someone said to him, this is saying to Jesus, "I will follow you wherever you go." And Jesus said to him, "The foxes have holes and the birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man has nowhere to lay his head." So this first guy says, "I will follow you, Jesus, wherever you go." And Jesus responds, really, in a pretty odd way. He says, "Foxes have holes, birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man has nowhere to lay his head." It's like, wait, I just wanted to follow you. I'm just, here I am, I want to follow you. Why are you talking about foxes and birds? But what Jesus is doing is making a point. He's calling out this stark contrast. He's saying that creatures, creation, all of creation down to the smallest creatures have a refuge. They have a place. They have a place to retire to, right? Yet the Messiah, the King, the Creator, the Anointed One has no place to rest his head. There's that stark contrast. So what he's doing now is he is challenging what was a common belief of that day. And that was that the Jews believed that when the Messiah came, that he would come as a conquering king, that he would rule and reign as king. In power and in wealth he would rule. And those that followed him would be able to share in that power and wealth. So what he's doing is he's asking, what do you think you will gain by following me? What's your motive? See, he's challenging this notion of comfort, that the Messiah himself is not going to fall into their definition of what a comfortable living looks like. So he's just being honest. What do you expect when you follow me? See, they think that their troubles are all over by following him, that the oppression that exists is all over. And their troubles are over. It's just in a very, very different way, on a much deeper level, on an eternal level. Because belief in him is making a new creation, a new person. So if we're looking at these verses today, there is this repeating theme that we find, and that is the to follow theme. You know, I will follow you, and then Jesus tells the next guy, follow me, and then the last guy says, you know, I will follow you. Luke is just driving this point home. It's all about the journey. And will they get into the car when Jesus pulls over, right? Or will they not take this option of the journey? You know, Jesus is on his way to Jerusalem. And if you remember, on the Mount of Transfiguration, the word that was used to discuss this journey, that described what this journey was an exodus, an exodus. And what did that famous exodus journey look like? It looked like Moses leading the Israelites out of Egypt. In Egypt, where they were slaves, but they had all the materialistic things that they valued. And later on, they would end up throwing that back in Moses' face when they said, like, you know, hey, at least back in Egypt, we had water, we had a place to stay, we had food, like good food, and you led us out into this wilderness. You see, the journey stripped them of their comforts. Yet, the reality is it provided them with their freedom. See, Jesus is challenging the first person in this same idea. This is the same thing going on. He's asking, is comfort, is familiarity, is expectation, is tradition a form of bondage? Because to this guy, it was. And Jesus wants to lead him out of that. And to go into the next step of following Jesus in developing someone as a disciple, it's going to require a reworking. This guy's going to have to rework how he views and how he values all these things. So the second guy, instead of offering to follow Jesus, what we see is that now Jesus approaches him. See, it's never the same. You can't box him in. You never can box him in. 59. And he said to another, follow me. But he said, Lord, permit me first to go and bury my father. But he said to him, allow the dead to bury their own dead. But as for you, go and proclaim everywhere the kingdom of God. So Jesus definitely stepped it up here, right? This is a challenging response that he has. Like, the guy just wants to bury his dad. So why would Jesus respond so harsh? Well, that saying, permit me to go bury my father, it was a common phrase in that time. And basically what you were saying when you said, permit me to go bury my father, is you were saying, I'm waiting. Just hang tight. My dad's getting up there in age. And what I'm doing is I'm waiting for the day when he will give the inheritance to me. I'm just chilling. I'm hanging out in dad's basement, waiting to get the estate settled. You know, my plan is in place. And then when it all fits together nicely, then I'll follow you, okay? But first let me get this all worked out. So this is like not a short-term thing. This is probably more like a long-term thing. You know, Jesus is passing through and he's calling this guy. And this guy's saying, hey, I got plans, man. I got plans and I'd love to follow you, but as soon as all this stuff falls into place, then I'm there. Then I'm your guy. So this is bad timing, really, for this guy. It's inconvenient for him because what it would do is it would cost him everything that he placed value on the most. And actually what society that he grew up in valued the most, the status, the wealth, the honor. It's an honor-shame society. To take off, to leave, to just scoot out of town and miss everything that was there for you would seem to be just foolish, right? It would, you know, it wouldn't make sense. It would cost him everything that he valued. However, what Jesus is doing is offering him so much more. He has something greater than just wealth or comfort or a solid education or whatever it might be ready for him. Look, he says to him to follow him and then to go proclaim everywhere the kingdom of God. So this tells us that there's a plan in place that Jesus knows about. Like behind the scenes, that while there's nothing especially wrong with going down the road of life as planned and keeping Jesus in your life, that there is also a behind the scenes greater plan if we're drawing near to him. And this is at any part of the Christian journey. No matter how close we are to Jesus, there's still a step closer that we can take. If we're willing to put him first and we're willing to listen, there is always a deeper relationship that we can enter into, and we will see a more impactful result that arises from it. And to the world, it might look foolish. You know, it might seem completely counterintuitive, but in the context of eternity, it's so valued. It's so important. It's so rich. And Jesus is asking, will you reevaluate what you find comfort in order to enter into a greater plan for your life? Okay, so the last guy now. The last guy is like the first one. He comes up to Jesus saying that he will follow him. Verse 61 and 62. Another also said, I will follow you, Lord, but first permit me to say goodbye to those at home. But Jesus said to him, no one, after putting his hand to the plow and looking back, is fit for the kingdom of God. So it's like he keeps ramping it up, right? This is a hard one, because it's almost like Jesus is shooting him down. I mean, he just wants to say goodbye to his family. Is there anything wrong with that? No, there's nothing wrong with that. It's actually the right thing to do instead of just disappearing. But he should have already done that. He should have already told them, hey guys, I'm following Jesus now. You know, just maybe he hid it from them. Maybe he wasn't sure. Maybe he was really on the fence and he still was making up his mind, or maybe he was afraid what they would think. But when we think about this, I think that kind of like what's happening here is more like when I pick that kid up, that kid who would get up at 5 a.m. every morning in order to get to work by 8 a.m., by picking him up, I got him to work like way early, because he figured worst case scenario, he's walking. Best case scenario, he catches a ride for a few miles. And so I would take him like within 10 minutes walk of where he had to go. So now he's got some time on his hands, right? And it's almost like this situation, this guy saying, let me just run back home and say goodbye to those at home. It's almost like if I were to pick that kid up and the kid's like, hey, instead of taking me to work, why don't you just take me back home and I'll just kind of like chill, play some video games for a little bit, and then you come get me and then take me to work. That would be much more convenient. That would work out a lot better for me. Well, all that shows is that he doesn't really value what I'm trying to do for him, right? And so what Jesus does is he wants to make his point, and so he paints this picture that everyone in a first century agrarian community would totally get, and that is a farming example. And he says, okay, by pausing your journey now, by putting the brakes on right now, and running back home and doing this now, this is like plowing a field and looking back. Okay, so what happens when you plow a field and look back? When you're farming, when you're plowing to keep your rows straight, you find a point in the distance, or on the horizon, ideally, and you keep your eyes on that point. And in doing so, you will plow a perfectly straight line. However, if you don't do that, if you're not looking at that point, if you're not fixing your eyes on that point, what's going to happen is that straight line is going to begin to wander. Especially if you start looking backwards, that straight line is going to get very wavy. I mean, you're still plowing, you're still moving forward, but those lines, they're crooked now. They're not as efficient. This is going to create a more difficult harvest because you're wandering. Now, there's this term that I've heard lately, and that is that not all who wander are lost. And that's true. And I believe that that's Jesus' point with these three individuals. Because he never says, he never prevents them from following him. He doesn't stop them. He doesn't like chase them away. He doesn't say, you know, you're not going to enter the kingdom of God. None of that. It's not about judgment. It's not about condemnation on them. But what's unique too is that we never learn the choice that they ultimately make. The fact is that the first guy that we looked at, he could keep his home and he could keep his comforts and he could still believe in Jesus. The second guy, he could stay with his father. He could get his inheritance. He could follow his plan and he could still believe in Jesus. And the last guy there, the one we're looking at now, the one, he could go back home. And he could go there and he could say his goodbyes, he could make his peace, and then he could run back and try to catch up with Jesus. But the point is, what if God has more planned for them? What if there is just living life and believing in Jesus, and then there is like following Jesus? Like, Jesus pulls up and you get in the car and you are riding with him and you are just totally allowing him to take you to the destination. You are listening to him as he talks. You are letting him pick the roads to get you to the end of your journey. You are letting him choose the music that's on the radio. And I think this is all summed up in the last line that Jesus speaks. And it seems so off-putting at first. But let's look at it again. No one, after putting his hand to the plow and looking back, is fit for the kingdom of God. Fit for the kingdom of God. To be fit for the kingdom. What does that mean? Well, it's not like a you're in and you're out type of thing. Instead, it's more like a next step. It's more like a discipleship 102. The word fit used there means well placed. Well placed. You could say it like it's maybe one way to think about it is it's a custom fit dress. Or a tailored suit. But I love that. Well placed. Do I just want to be a believer of Jesus? Or do I want to actually be well placed in his kingdom? No one, after putting their hand to the plow and looking back, is well placed. See, in all three of these scenarios, Jesus goes personal. He challenges an area in each one of these individuals' lives where they have placed this high value based on their comfort or their expectations, and he asks them to reevaluate those values in order that they choose to trust him, to listen to him, and if so, they will become better placed, well placed in the kingdom. He's not tearing them down, but he's actually building them up. It's an invitation to just hop in the car. And if they choose to allow the journey and allow Jesus to change them deeply and ultimately help them to be well-placed in the will of the Father. And he desires that for each one of us as well. Love you guys. Take care. Have a great day.